right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. Don't forget, while you take your Bible, you turn there and you're looking. I enjoyed all the good special music this morning, the congregation singing, and I've got four rocks to prove it. And so anyhow, that's all right. Take your Bible, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, if you find the place you're able to stand, look there in the chapter with me, if you will, verse 54. That's where we'll take up reading in verse number 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. I pray you now move upon us and within us, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while about victory, if I could, this morning for a few minutes. And when we begin to look into this Bible lesson that we're looking at, I got to say to you, someone said, you know, there's the smell of agony and the victory, or the smell of victory and the agony of defeat is the way that it goes. Now, I don't know about you and all that business there. I don't know if you've ever known what it was to be able to suffer the agony of defeat. You ever see a kid, you know, trying to compete for something and they didn't win? Now, oh man, they're hurt and their world's crushed and they're all down in the mouth about it. Of course, not in the day we live in. Everybody gets a participation trophy. But, I mean, I'm not against that either. I want to make everybody feel good. But those who have excelled farther ought to get a bigger reward, and they ought to get a bigger trophy. I tell you what, you may think you're fooling these kids here, but I've noticed some of them, you know, they've already learned what color them ribbons are. And boy, let me tell you right now, as you call their name, come on down, like you're running the Price is Right or something, and they all of a sudden they get them a little green one, and they know that's red one's number one, friend. And boy, they'll look at that and then stomp back to their seat, you know. I want to say to you that I'm talking about, I want to preach about victory. And boy, there's a good smell of victory. Man, those that have got won that ribbon, they march up there and they march back. You can just tell that they feel good all over about the ribbon, about themselves, about their accomplishment, and so forth and on. God reminds us every now and again is that you and I are going to face the last enemy that will ever be destroyed. And the Bible said that in this chapter here, in about verse number 26, at death, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, I know we don't like to talk about death. I know I don't particularly like to sit and talk about it. I will tell you this, if you're a child of God, the devil can't run you except to the grave. That's as far as he can go with it. Now, you need not fear the devil that's got the sentence of death upon him. You need not be afraid of him, because after that you're dead and gone, that's all he can do. But you better fear him that after you're dead and gone can cast you into a place called hell, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit. Fear him, God said. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that I don't know about you, but death's not my friend. I know it's not your friend. You know, it's such a cold subject, isn't it? Such a horrible subject. Do you realize that, oh, you cannot understand this subject I'm talking about until someone you really love is taken through the portal of death? You and I live long enough, we're going to face that. And make no mistake about it, you say, well, you know, I don't really know about all there is. It's because nobody you know that's been dear to your heart and has meant something to you has left this world through the portal of death. But when it does take place, you're going to know what we're talking about. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, is that you're going to know that the enemy that we have is called death. It's the last enemy that will ever be destroyed. This Bible says you'll find that death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned, Romans 5:12. For all have sinned, and therefore death is passed upon all men. And as a result of that, I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt for you and I. In this lesson that you're looking at over in Romans chapter number 6, don't turn there, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That's all. You can work and be as good as you want to be, and all you'll get for your work and your wages is the sentence of death. I'm glad the rest of it is the gift of God, is eternal life. But the sentence of death is upon us. It's upon this godless, wicked world that we're living in. You know what death is, don't you? It's separation from. You take that whenever a person's born, they're born in trespasses and sin. You're dead in trespasses and sin. That means you're living a life separated from God. But when God grants you repentance and faith through the preaching of the gospel, and by the way, let me tell you right now, is you don't ever have to defend the results that you've got over preaching the gospel. Many may deny it, doesn't matter. Many may defy it, doesn't matter. This Bible said that my word shall not return unto me void. You preach it with all your heart, just like you said this morning, brother. And let me tell you, God will take care of the rest of that business. I got a lot of church members that somebody, they'll walk up to you. Brother Roloff one time said a church member walked up to him smelling liquor on his breath. He said, "You don't remember me, Brother Lester?" And he said, "No." He said, "Well, you saved me about 4 years ago." And he said, "Well, I must have, because if the Lord had, you wouldn't smell like a liquor bottle, see. My word shall not return unto me void." Just give out the blessed word of the Lord. Somebody may not believe it. They don't have to believe it. I'm not responsible that if you believe it or not believe it. I am responsible to preach the word of the Lord without fear or favor of man. And let me tell you, whenever death comes, you'd better know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. What death is, death is a sad time. It's a sad occasion. You're going to find out it's a separation from the rest of this life. It doesn't mean you cease to exist, but you're separated from those of us that are still living. I got to tell you, is that when you know somebody that's dear to your heart, death will make you have a longing for the Lord to come. It'll make you say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this." In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that we have a longing on the inside, not only to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be reunited with loved ones that have gone on before us. That's what death does for you and I when we think about it. Look in this lesson that we're looking at. Number one is that the Bible said something about those that are corruptible, this corruptible. Now, you know what it is whenever you die? There's a decaying process begins to set in. And what happens is that you'll find that it's a perishable item, the body is. And let me tell you right now, when Jesus died on the cross, death couldn't hold our King. There was no decaying took place. There was no perishing took place. Let me tell you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he is an incorruptible one. And here's what incorruptible means. It means that it's an unending existence, and that it's genuine, that it's not contaminated. And that's what Jesus Christ and the saving blood of the Lamb does. You know, in the same chapter that we're looking at, there were those that did not believe in the resurrection. And Paul the Apostle was quick to point out to them that if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. I'm glad there's something more than beyond here. In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said that we've read about it, is that whenever this corruptible, this body we're in, it puts on incorruption. That means to where that it's resurrected in a body like unto his. Let me tell you, the Bible said then was the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. You ain't got to sit around. We're not going to heaven riding in a wheelchair, patched up with band-aids, or hobbling along on crutches. We may do that here, but we're not headed to heaven that way. Listen, we've been made free and made whole by the blood of the Lamb. In this Bible lesson, you look at it, verse number 55 said something about, "O death, where's thy sting?" And let me tell you right now, you talk about a thing that'll sting you, but the sting of death. I don't know if you've ever been stung or not. I've been stung a few times. And while my grandkids were watching me jump around fighting red wasps every year, you know, when you go to try and clean out a stand or clean out them feeders, they'll get up in it. And sometimes the sky will turn red with red wasps. And let me tell you right now, there's a certain time, I guess during their breeding cycle, they'll come running after you. And let me tell you, they're going to have to run fast to catch me. But I've been popped more than one time. And as a result of that, you know, it's good, fun, entertainment to those that are sitting around watching. Here's a young man that knows, and he's watched me. I remember, you know, and him and Jacob sitting there on the four-wheeler or the Ranger, whatever you call. And man, I was running, fighting, and I'm talking about I'd done run from here nearly to the highway. And that's just sitting over here, hee, hee, ha, ha. But what is funny when he got after them? I notice how Nathan, you know, he's always a little bit taller than Jacob. We walk up there to one of those tents and all that, and he was always so brave to push Jacob right on inside there and let him see what was going on. And so as you look into this Bible, you'll find that there's a sting in death. There's an old story that years ago I heard, read or something. A little boy, you know, the parents brought him to a daycare and said, "We want you to take care of him now. Don't refuse anything he wants. I mean, I want you to give it to him. Whatever he wants, I want him to have it. We've never refused anything to this child." And when they came back a little while later, he was sitting over there bawling and just a screaming and terrifying. "What have you done to my baby?" "Nothing. I did what you said." He looked out the window and saw a bee on one of those roses and said, "I want that bee," and we gave it to him. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may not be afraid and wonder about death, and I don't have to be afraid of death. I've got the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not looking to go on the next busload. See? It's right that you stay alive as long as you can. That's normal. But when it comes your time to leave this world, the sting of death, buddy, is going to be but just for a moment. And the Bible said, grave, where is thy victory? You know, when you walk up there and you look at a graveyard, when you leave there, all they're going to have said to them is whatever it is you've said before you leave. I used to never go to the graveyard whatsoever. I go now about once or twice a week. And when I walk up there, every time I leave, I say, "Hey, fellas, we missed you this morning. We're still trying to wave the bloodstained banner, and I'll see you resurrection morning." You know why? Because I got a hope of that. Because I know deep down in my soul that the graveyard ain't the final place. I'm going to tell you, we're hell-proof and heaven-bound. I like what they sang this morning about whenever he's saved by a soul from hell. I'll tell you what, that'll give you hope. That'll give you the victory is knowing the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the free pardon of sin. This Bible said that when you look, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I got to tell you, you hadn't got to run around in this life being defeated, acting like you have no hope. Listen, the victory's ours to claim, and it's to claim because of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Look in verse 57 again. "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Victory's been given. That's by the grace of God. God gave us victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And you know how he done it, don't you? On the cross, whenever he bowed his head and said, "It's finished," gave up the ghost. In 3 days, he rose again gloriously, victoriously, that he might be able to give you and I what he purchased for us, and that's victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the grave. I'm glad to know that, buddy, that he not only had been buried and rose again, but that he did that for you and I, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was a woman laying dying in the hospital. The doctor came in and said, "Ma'am, There's not anything more that we can do. All we can do is pray now. There's not a thing medically I can do for you. She said, oh my, doc, has it come to that? And the doctor, being a believer, said, no, ma'am, it's always been that. Just every now and again, God brings us to here to remind us that it's in Him and Him alone. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find that the Bible said, when this mortal shall have put on immortality. What you and I are in right now is a mortal body. It can die, it can hurt, it can rot, it can smell. But one day, buddy, when you get saved, let me tell you, resurrection morning, it'll be an immortal body. No more sin, no more pain, no more agony. You know, this Bible said over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, you ain't got to turn there, but over in Hebrews in chapter number 9 and verse number 27, that Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm glad it's a one-time deal. It hurts too bad to be able to suffer through that agony. In this lesson, I want you to look and see over in Isaiah, and I'm going to give you a moment to find that, Isaiah chapter number 25, Isaiah, and I'll give you a second to find it. Isaiah chapter number 25. There's a passage there in about verse number 8 that we're going to be looking at. Because this promise that we're reading, this promise that we've talked about already for a minute or two, a few minutes, this promise has already been given, and through our Lord and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And look in verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. This is not just something that for the moment, this is something been promised, buddy, by God Himself in days gone by. All right, as we get ready to get down to the place, the Bible says over in the book of St. John 5, you ain't got to turn there particularly, but I do want you to turn to the book of Psalm chapter 95, and then in Hebrews in chapter 3, and I'll give you a moment to find that. Jesus said the time's going to come when all that are in the graves are going to hear His voice. You know, I told you that I go a couple of times to the cemetery. And let me tell you right now is, every time I go there, I already know that the Lord hadn't come for two reasons. Number one, I'm still here. Number two, the graves had not yet been opened. And let me tell you, resurrection morning, there's going to be a lot of graves undisturbed. But those that have died in the Lord, that have been buried with the Lord, that know the Lord, their graves are burst open. And we'll be called up to heaven in the air to meet the Lord with them, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In the book of Psalm 95, I told you to turn there. Psalms 95 is where we're going to be looking. And then over in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 3. So I'll give you a second to find that, mark that. But look in Psalm 95, and the Bible said in verse number 7, we'll take up, for He is our God. Do you know Him this morning? Boy, I can say that. I'm talking about without a doubt. He is my God. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. That means we're feeding off of Him, feeding and grazing through the word of the Lord with Him, and the sheep of His hand. Now watch this. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. Now I want to say to you that, if you will, they did that for 40 years in the wilderness that they were looking at. I want to say to you today, if you'll hear His voice. Now I want you to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. We'll begin there in chapter 3. And in the book of Hebrews, you would have thought after I told you to turn there and be looking that I'd have done so. But while Hebrews in chapter number 3, and I want you to look there in about verse number 7. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, and chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 7, first of all, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice. Are you listening? Look in verse 15. And while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Now look in Hebrews chapter 4 and look in verse number 7. And again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now I want to tell you something. I mean, God said that four times. You think maybe he was wanting us to remember something about today? Boy, I remember the day that God brought me into the family, put me into the fold, saved me by the grace of God. And I got to tell you something right now is that if you're sitting here, my question would be to you, do you remember that day when Jesus found you? Well, God bless you if you do. If not, why not today? Four times he's already said it. Four times today, you're either going to harden your heart or come to him as an empty-handed beggar. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, our musician comes, our song director. As we get ready to sing the invitation song, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I'm not worried about the sting of death. God's already took that out for me. I'm not worried about the grave and it being able to hold. God's already got it settled because of him. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word and the preaching this morning. We praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. There may be somebody to say, preacher, I need to come. I ought to come. I want to come. May they come, Lord. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What number is it?